Whenever this reading comes around, and of course usually it's every 3 years, with the present cycle in this particular rite, and the other rite is just once a year. So we will hear it again in the Gregorian rite. It is one that of course amuses to a certain degree and arouses curiosity in another. We have this particular woman from Tyre and Sidon. Of course, this is in modern-day Lebanon, near the coast of the Mediterranean. Very, very wealthy and magnificent cities at that time. And she comes out, she heard that our Lord was coming. Now, it's interesting, the things that she said, unless she heard them from someone else, but most people did not know, even not all the disciples and apostles knew all of it yet. She started to call out and make a confession of faith. Of course, she's praying. That's what that is. And when we pray, when we ask for petitions, when we ask for petitions, we need to pray first. We need to give glory to God and praise to God, and then present to Him our needs, whatever they may be. And so, first of all, she praises Him. Have pity on me, Lord, Son of David. Now, what does that mean? The Messiah was of the house of David. And for legality's purpose, St. Joseph was of the house of David, though he wasn't his father. But Mary was of the house of David. And this week we celebrated the feast of her father, Joachim, or Jehoiakim, which means God will take care of it. And indeed he does. And so he is of the house of David. He also is partly from the house of Levi, the priestly tribe, just as St. John the Baptist. So most likely, St. John the Baptist was a relative from the side of Joseph. Obviously, not a blood cousin, not really, just legally. And so she proclaims him to be the Son of God, the Messiah, the Son of David. How could she have known this? Maybe it was the demons who revealed it to her. They knew who he was. They always knew who he was. But they were always also not sure. They were not secure. And then she makes her petition. After she prays, she makes her petition. My daughter is tormented by a demon. Let me tell you, he, as I, would be very, very busy in this day and age, because the majority of society, the majority of persons, even some here, are tormented by demons. And I know it, and I see them, I feel them. And they're always coming to attack. My daughter is tormented by a demon. We don't know how she was tormented by a demon. It's not revealed here. So Jesus ignored her. And you know, that is the way of God in many cases when petitions are made to him, perhaps yours and mine. He ignores us. He says they need to answer and ask and ask and ask and ask till they're tired, and then finally I will answer. So don't get depressed or dejected when he doesn't answer you right away. He did not say a word to her. And isn't that the way it is sometimes for us too? Now the disciples, they weren't concerned about all that. They were just concerned about the fact that she was annoying to them. Send her away. She keeps calling out after us. Which ultimately, what difference does it make? But it was annoying to hear this woman calling and begging and crying and so forth over and over and over again. St. Matthew doesn't repeat it over and over again, but we know it happened. Send her away. And our Lord gives his first part of the answer. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now it's interesting, because ultimately he was sent to all of the children of the house of Israel. But a lot of them were not lost. They already were beginning to follow him, to hear his call. Those who do not believe in Jesus Christ, those are the ones that are lost sheep of the house of Israel. And St. Paul, as we saw last week, bemoaned the fact that his people did not believe in Jesus Christ altogether, only some. But he does predict that at the end of time, all Jews will be converted to Jesus Christ. That's already begun to happen, even in Israel, where, as I mentioned a few years ago, Pope Benedict of happy memory established a whole diocese that speaks only in Hebrew. It's very interesting. So I came only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, you know, get lost. You're not even an Israelite. You're not even of the house of Israel. And so she keeps praying and doing him homage. Lord, help me. Acknowledging that he is Lord. Lord, which means God. Help me, which acknowledges that only God can help her. And on most cases of the things that are going on today, only God can help us. And our Lord throws to her something that is very shocking, even today. It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs. In other words, he's telling her, you are a dog, get lost. Now that would have discouraged anybody. Some people would have gotten angry and said, who is this? Is this really the Son of God? I do not accept him. I will never accept him. He called me a dog. That is, those who are filled with pride. Because ultimately speaking, all of us, in the sight of God, are nothing but worthless dogs. And yes, I'm calling you a dog. Take it or leave it. Deal with it. And our Lord says, it is not good to throw the food of the children, that is, of Israel's children, and throw it to the dogs, to the Gentiles. And she says, but Lord, even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from their master's table. And our Lord then knows that her faith is real. Not that he didn't know, but it had to be proven, just as you and I have to prove our faith in God. We must be tested. We must be tried. And until we are tested and tried, and we still believe, and we still adore, then will we not be answered? And so he says to her, O woman, great is your faith. And then he finally answers her prayer. Let it be done for you as you wish. And this is, of course, a translation. Perhaps the original says, let it be done for you as you have prayed for. Prayers are answered. And our Lord, all over the Gospel, speaks about the fact that we must persevere in our faith and in our prayer. Like the woman who kept going to the unjust judge until he thought, she's going to beat me up if I don't answer her. So I need to answer her. It's interesting that most of these cases of great perseverance come from women. And of course, who are the ones that were chosen from creation to be the ones that would be the bearer of children in great pain after Eve's sin? That teaches a woman perseverance and strength in pain, physical pain, spiritual pain. That is why we have the eighth station. Most of the men ran off like a bunch of cowards with their tails between their legs. The women persevered. So for those who want women to have this, that, or the other, they already have it. They don't need to be priests or deaconesses or any of that nonsense. They already have it. Faith. Without faith, one cannot be saved. Without faith, one cannot enter heaven. Without faith, one cannot receive the sacraments worthily and properly. So let it be done for you as you wish, as you pray for. And the woman's daughter was healed at that moment. Jesus didn't have to go to her. The woman did not have to go to her. It happened. Jesus is God. God is everywhere. And we've seen this. The son of the centurion, the son of the synagogue leader in Capernaum. He didn't have to go there. Just say the word. Oh Lord, I am not worthy, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. That is all everywhere in the Gospels. And today, in particular, of course, is the day devoted to the Blessed Mother of God. And in this month, dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, Our Lady of Fatima. Of course, this week we have the Feast of the Immaculate Heart on the 22nd. And as we see from the front of the pulpit, we have the Feast of Our Lady of the Assumption of Częstochowa, who 20 years ago saved me and this parish. And so on the 26th, which is Saturday, we will have a Mass in honor of Our Lady in thanksgiving to having given us the parish, which is ours and which we love and which we hope to transmit to other generations. And of course, God is making that possible. As I've said in the last few weeks, we have 18 vocations from this parish. What more do you want? I told the bishop that too. Not even the whole diocese has 18 vocations, but we do. Because we have the traditional Mass, and eventually there will be no more English Mass at 4 or 7:30. They will all be traditional, and I have already asked him for that. The Bishop of Cleveland has created a shrine, just as our bishop created a shrine almost 10 years ago, which allows us to have the traditional liturgy always, and I have asked him to make this always a traditional Latin Mass parish. And it will happen. The Lord answers, and Our Lady answers. And he did not say no. He hasn't said yes yet, but he's going to look into it. And of course, the only reason we can have it is because we are not just a parish. We are a parish, but we are a shrine. And today we celebrate the feast of a great saint, a great priest, one of my favorites since I was a child. And of course, I was still a child when I entered the seminary. St. Jean Eudes, from the province of Normandy, the little town of Chris in the diocese of Cesse. Of course, it's written different than what it sounds. French is a very strange language, but very beautiful. I love it. Anyway, he became the father, he became a priest in the congregation of the Oratory of St. Philip Neri under the great preacher and writer St. Jean de Berulle. Why he hasn't been canonized, I don't know. There must be some politics there. There's more politics in the church than there are in the White House. And so, anyway, he followed him, and then God instructed him to found a congregation of priests and brothers, and another one of nuns, and another one of lay people. I think that's disappeared. But anyway, the priests of Jesus and Mary, and he began to preach before our Lord appeared to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque about the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Sacred Heart of Mary, the Immaculate Heart. He was canonized by Pope Pius XI during the Holy Year that remarked the 1500th anniversary or the 1900th anniversary of the birth of Christ. So soon, in 10 years, we will have the 2000th anniversary of the birth of Christ. So, either way, St. John Eudes is his name, and he founded the congregation, which is now known as the Congregation of the Eudist Fathers and Brothers, which has gone south like everything else has in the church, and so there are very few of them. I knew them in Rome. I used to go to lunch with them on Sundays sometimes in Rome with permission from my superior, and it was sad to see what had happened. He would not be happy about it. But he is in heaven, and eventually he will be made a doctor of the church. His statue stands highly and proudly inside the Basilica of St. Peter. And he also founded the Sisters of the Oratory of Charity, Our Lady of Charity, among which many of their nuns have been canonized already, including St. Euphrasia Pelletier and others. Our Lady of Charity of the Refuge. So today we honor him who honored the Blessed Mother. I was reading his works earlier before Mass, and of course that particular chapter he was berating people for going to dances and going to the theater. And so, you know, yes, it is a different century, but what's in the theater today is much filthier than was there. He died in 1680. We need to be careful where we look, where we listen, and where we open our eyes and ears, because the devil is all around seeking souls to devour like a lion at the middle of the night. So today, we give thanks to God, who makes us persevere, who makes us pray, and who answers our persevering prayer. It is not good to throw the food of the children of God to the dogs. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.